My guest at this time, John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always good to have you with us.
It's always good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Let us begin with the latest presidential debate. It was held Wednesday evening in Rochester, Michigan, just a little bit north of Detroit. Obviously, a state hit extremely hard by economic woes and really was in a one-state recession long before the financial crisis of 2008. It was largely an economic debate hosted by CNBC. The conventional wisdom, John, is that Mitt Romney came away well. Rick Perry committed a potentially fatal faux pas by forgetting the third cabinet department that he would abolish. And, of course, hanging over the whole thing was the stories revolving around Herman Cain. So is that conventional wisdom essentially right, or did you notice something more important?
No, the conventional wisdom is right. And if one notices carefully, Mitt Romney picks up more endorsements every day, and more people are committing to him financially. He looks presidential. His opposition seems to be destroying itself. Now, I saw the moment Governor Perry had. I've had a few moments like that myself, albeit not running for president on national television. By itself, that would not be fatal. Ronald Reagan couldn't remember the names of world leaders in 1979 during an early morning television interview. People made a federal case out of it, but he did a lot of other things right in that campaign. Perry has not been doing a lot of things right, including his interviews and handling himself on his feet. I don't think it's fatal, but I'd say it certainly doesn't help the momentum.
And in terms of Herman Cain, there was one question and one follow-up about the sexual harassment allegations. The crowd was clearly not interested in hearing more about that. They cheered his response to it. They cheered Mitt Romney for not touching it with a 10-foot pole. What does that tell you about the Republican electorate, and do you think it's representative of the national electorate?
Well, I think that Republicans tend to rally to their own, which can sometimes be very healthy. But on the other hand, if this continues to metastasize and more people come forward, that's all Herman Cain is going to be talking about. And again, it certainly cannot help him. Now, his base is solidly with him. His contributions are going through the ceiling, but again, this has to end one way or another for him.
How about his performance on Substance last night, John? A lot of folks thought he did a good job of explaining why revitalizing the economy was really the linchpin to a lot of things, that he was definitely on message. Some folks thought he was a little too much on message in his repeated references to the 999 plan. What did you make of how he handled the basic questions of the night?
Well, I had an editor who once said there's nothing wrong with repeating anything because that way people will know it better. Swell. He did a good job. And again, the previous criticism before the sexual harassment charges was that Mr. Cain was not a substantive person, that he spoke in generalities. I think he showed last night why he has an advanced degree from Purdue University and joined the Navy civilian offices as a ballistics expert.
John, let's move on to a even greater economic crisis than the one we're facing, and that's over in Europe. Just when it seemed like we were finally past the crisis stage of the Greek debt crisis, lo and behold, a couple of days later, Italy's on the brink, going past the point of supposed sustainability. Berlusconi's on his way out as soon as the austerity measures are in place, if they're put in place. Just how dicey is the situation for the government in Rome?
It certainly doesn't look good at this point. And plus, the wily Mr. Berlusconi, Italy's longest-serving post-war prime minister, demonstrated why he's a political survivor. He's already privately hinting that if he simply puts together another coalition of supporters, he can return in yet another incarnation as prime minister. Look, all of these intrigues don't help the situation. Let's get it out on the table now, okay? It doesn't look that good for Italy, and hanging over them is the possibility they will cry for help to the International Monetary Fund, the European Central Bank, and the EU. That's going to send shockwaves to this country because we're the largest shareholder in the IMF, and many Americans have stocks and foreign holdings. All I could say is we have to wait and see what happens.
And, of course, Italy would be a much bigger default than Greece ever would have been. John, let's move back to domestic politics now. And the president's had a relatively quiet week, but one of the things that he's been scuffling over is the situation with the House committee and documents related to the Solyndra investigation. That's the failed solar panel maker that got $535 million in guaranteed government loans funded by taxpayer dollars. The administration not fully cooperating with the House Energy and Commerce Committee in turning over documents that are being subpoenaed. How do you expect this to shake out?
I have covered Darrell Issa, the chairman of the committee, for a number of years now, and he is like a terrier in going after things. The administration fights him on these documents at its own risk. My guess is that eventually they will give in and give some documents up on Solyndra, simply because this is a House committee and subpoenas that won't go away. If it takes a challenge in court over just what is executive privilege, the administration should be forewarned that ISA and company will be there in court with a defense of their own.
Let's bounce back overseas now, John. And we got another report from the International Atomic Energy Agency this week suggesting to most experts now that Iran is past the point where it can plausibly claim that its nuclear program is only for civilian energy purposes. They're doing things that would only be done in the case of producing a weapons program, which everyone pretty much agreed was the case anyway. We have also heard in recent weeks of Israel having plans to launch a preemptive strike, but that plan was made public by what Benjamin Netanyahu calls turncoat spies. What do you expect to happen here, and how soon is it going to happen?
Not sure exactly what's going to happen. We've seen a lot of other intrigues like this before with Israel. We just cannot be sure about how it will come out. This is a country whose Mossad is considered the envy in the espionage world. There's a lot of things we may not find out for many years on it. I say we just have to stay and wait.
John, a couple of notable passings this week as we end our time together. It was last weekend that longtime 60 Minutes commentator Andy Rooney passed away at the age of 92. And just a couple of days later, it was former heavyweight champion of the world, Smokin' Joe Frazier, after just a couple days after we learned he was suffering from the advanced stages of liver cancer, two men that definitely left their mark on the world.
Yes, they certainly did. Andy Rooney, of course, moved everyone who watched 60 Minutes with his curmudgeon style and hard-hitting editorials on everything, including how he didn't like getting appointment books for Christmas. And, of course, he faced down the charges of racism for some comments he made a few years ago and did so nobly and aptly. He will certainly be missed. I think the best comment about him came from his son, ABC News producer Brian Rooney, who said people asked him the most if Dad was the same act at the dinner table as he was on Sunday nights. He was. Joe Frazier was an impressive person. I just put in an article on him, and one fact little known about him, he campaigned for Republicans. He supported Ronald Reagan in 1980 and 84, joining with his arch rival Muhammad Ali, and in his own Philadelphia. He campaigned in every race for Frank Rizzo, a former police chief and mayor who was controversial in the black community. Joe Frazier knew him and liked him. As he once said, "We need him back as mayor because the city streets aren't safe. Even I'm afraid to go out." He'll be missed.
John, we'll leave it there. Have a great weekend.
Mourning the passing of some great Americans who enriched my life, I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.